Morning, Your Honors. Thank you. My name is, may it please the Court, my name is Eric Hatchell. With me today is Attorney Michael Van Sicklin. We're from Foley and Lardner in Madison, Wisconsin. This Court appointed Foley to represent Larry Robinson on this appeal. This appeal does not challenge Mr. Robinson's conviction, nor does it challenge all of his sentencing enhancements. Instead, the sole issue on appeal is whether a specific sentencing enhancement for the distribution of child pornography, mainly whether a defendant who uses a peer-to-peer file sharing program to download child pornography without knowledge that those videos can be uploaded by others has distributed child pornography under the definition in the sentencing guidelines. This question has never directly been answered by this Court, and this question has split the circuits between the Eighth Circuit and the Tenth Circuits. There is no evidence in this case that Mr. Robinson actually distributed child pornography to anyone, nor is there any credible evidence that Mr. Robinson knew that others could access his downloads. Rather, the United States gave the distribution enhancement here because a default share setting was automatically set to share in a file sharing program that Mr. Robinson didn't even download on his computer, nor did he really understand the functions behind it.
This was a default system?
Yes, Your Honor. The way that the file sharing program works is that when you download the file sharing program onto your computer, there is a default setting that automatically allows you to share those downloads. Anything you download is automatically allowed to be shared.
Can you override it?
Yes, you can. And that's a key distinction in this case. Because the definition of distribution requires an affirmative act by the defendant related to the transfer of child pornography. For instance, if the United States in this case could show that Mr. Robinson had knowledge, that he had knowledge of how the program worked, then it is fair to assume that his affirmative act is not taking that action to disable the sharing. It is possible for a user to
what
use.
What does the website look like? When you open up, what is this, LimeWire?
I think there was a LimeWire and there was another one.
What does it look like?
There was some evidence introduced at testimony that...
Why don't you put a picture in your brief, right? So we can see how likely is it that someone would be confused by this, right?
Sure.
So what does it say?
There's a search box. That's what Mr. Robinson did here. That's what the jury found him that he did. He searched for terms of child pornography. That's solicitation.
So, what Judge Posner means is LimeWire. What does it say it is? Does it say peer-to-peer file sharing? You know, what's the header? What's the page look like? Or is it just the word LimeWire and search? Is that the only thing on the page?
I'm not 100%.
This is what the whole case is about. I don't understand it. The whole case is about do you have to have knowledge, and maybe, you know, it's just so obvious. I mean, what if it says on its page, look, unless you disable this, everybody's going to be looking at your files.
I can't say that's in the record. I can only tell you based off my personal knowledge, and that's not the case. There isn't a warning. There isn't a disclaimer that says, warning, anything that you download can be automatically shared. You know, again, it's not in the record. That's off my personal
knowledge.
Does
it say peer-to-peer sharing, file sharing on it?
Yeah, I don't know if those exact words are there. I mean, obviously, listen, a peer-to-peer file sharing program is meant to share.
Exactly.
If there's a 25-year-old defendant, I don't think I'd be making this argument. But the fact is, when you have a 62-year-old grandfather...
Well, he may not know what peers are, right?
I think the key is...
House of Lords or something, right? You share with...
The key is that it's the government's burden to show an affirmative act. And if the defendant does not have any knowledge, and this is what the Eighth Circuit addressed in their case, if the defendant doesn't have any knowledge, this is a 62-year-old grandfather who didn't download the program on his computer. The testimony at trial by the United States' own witnesses were that this defendant didn't understand the program. His ex-wife testified he didn't even know how to go to Google. So the question under the sentencing guideline is, if you don't have knowledge, have you taken an affirmative act?
Well, he didn't accidentally get to pornography.
No, and we're not challenging that. That is solicitation.
Well, I want to start at the basic thing. He did deliberately do, I mean, that's what he was looking for, pornography. So how did he get to the next step, or whatever step this was, on this side?
Your Honor, to clarify your question, is your question how was he given the sentencing enhancement for distribution?
Well, you can answer it that way.
I want to make sure I'm answering your question. He was convicted of possession of child pornography, right? We're not challenging that. He was given an enhancement for distribution. You know, there was no evidence that he actually distributed the evidence. The reason they gave him the enhancement, the only reason they gave him the enhancement, is because a box was automatically set to share. They didn't show that he distributed it to anybody. And the question under the sentencing guidelines is that default box that he didn't even download on his computer, is that enough to be an affirmative act under the requirements of the sentencing guidelines?
How did he get to that site, was my question.
So a friend of his, and this is in the record, downloaded the program onto his computer. So there would be like an icon on your desktop. You would then click on that, and it would open up a program, and there would be a search box where you could type in a picture of a sunset, I think was the testimony at trial as an example. You could also search for terms on child pornography. That is solicitation, and that is possession. But the definition of distribution excludes solicitation and possession. There must be an affirmative act. And the Eighth Circuit says, if you don't have knowledge, and if you can't show one of these other examples in the definition of distribution, such as posting a material on a website for public viewing, they could have done that in this case if they had the evidence. The fact is they're just piling on here, you know, additional sentencing enhancements when it's not warranted. There is no affirmative act here by Mr. Robinson that he distributed child pornography.
Was the computer at the trial? His computer?
Was his physical computer?
At the trial.
My understanding, based on my review of the record, is that the computer was physically there. Yes, there was a demonstration of how LimeWire functions, but I don't think that cuts against us here because there is.
Well, I'm just curious. Is it obvious when you look at the website that people are going to be looking at your downloads, or is it something where you have to know a little bit, which he may not? You have to know a little bit. You have to know what peer-to-peer means. Maybe you have to know what file sharing means.
Your Honor, that's a good point, and I don't want to misrepresent to the court, but my understanding is that there's a separate page where you can see somebody uploading it. But again, there is even no evidence that anybody was downloading from him. So,
puzzlement, have you have a trial about someone's understanding of a document, we'll call it a document, the screen, without the screen?
And, you know, again, I think that testimony, there was testimony about how LimeWire functions. There wasn't any testimony.
Well, show the jurors the screen, and then they make a judgment. Is it obvious to anybody, or is it obvious to Robinson, that people would be, I mean, the distribution doesn't require actual, it doesn't require that someone actually look at the downloads. What it says is posting on a website for public viewing. In other words, access. And maybe it's perfectly clear when you look at the screen that everybody on every other subscriber, every member of the public who subscribes to LimeWire they have access to view it. Or maybe there's some technical language.
I certainly don't think it is obvious. And it's certainly the government's burden here to prove a sentencing enhancement, and that's a burden they haven't carried.
Well, LimeWire is not just exclusive for pornography.
No, absolutely not.
Whatever you want to share, right?
Exactly. Any file on a computer, you can search, as I said, you know, for a picture of a sunset, and you could download a picture of a sunset. You could download a song, you know, any
which
computer file.
More augurs in your favor that how would you know it was just the pornography would be shared too.
What I mean, he downloaded child pornography in this case, and again, we're not contesting that.
I understand that, but
the whole point of LimeWire is file sharing, correct?
That is correct.
That's the whole point.
And courts have pointed that out.
Yeah, and you want us to adopt the Eighth Circuit's line of reasoning, but the Tenth Circuit looked at this and said the defendant, you know, didn't have to know. He didn't have to know how it worked or anything. He didn't have to know that the software, his software, was capable of sharing files and went the other way from the Eighth. Why shouldn't we do that? Why shouldn't we go with the Tenth Circuit?
Two reasons, Your Honor. I think the Tenth Circuit, I think they got it wrong. They didn't even look at the definition of distribution. There was no discussion about what an affirmative act is. And they didn't even cite to the Eighth Circuit's decision. It's a certainly valid opinion binding in the Eighth Circuit that's directly opposite to the Tenth Circuit's opinion. The Eighth Circuit is more consistent with the definition of distribution, which requires an affirmative act. And I contend that if you don't have knowledge, if you're a 62-year-old grandfather who didn't download the program, who can't go to Google, you do not have knowledge, and you have not taken an affirmative act. Oh. Save my remaining time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hatchell. Mr. Norwood?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court and Counsel. Your Honor, with respect to your question about whether there's a picture of the screen, I believe the exhibits from the trial are sent to this Court. One of the exhibits is a disc, which would show the agent, Deputy Minton, did a demonstration of how the computer worked and how this program worked.
You mean that in the trial,
worked. You mean? Yeah, a trial.
It is the disk.
And there was a disk, and it should be, I'm not sure exactly what exhibit number it is, but there is a disk, and it'll show the steps that are taken. Mm-hmm. And what it will show is that after the file is downloaded, it shows on the screen, and I believe it's in the bottom left-hand corner, one file available for sharing. There's no dispute. The government contends there's no dispute in this case about whether the defendant was aware this was a file-sharing program. The pre-sentence report, to which there were no objections and to which the district court adopted as fact, indicates that Robinson was aware that LimeWire and FrostWire were programs designed to share files and videos, but he did not realize he was distributing the child pornography. There was no objections at sentencing. Therefore, the government didn't put on any additional evidence of an enhancement to which the defendant agreed at that time.
And did he also tell the police he understood the purpose of the peer-to-peer programs on his computer was to share files?
That's what he knew. He was aware that's what they were designed for. Yes, Your Honor. And he's when they keep portraying him as being unsophisticated, I submit he was a little more sophisticated than they're portraying in the sense that he downloaded, I believe, a total of 127 files on two computers. The trial evidence was that he used...
Pornography?
This is just child pornography. The evidence at trial was that he used search terms specific to child pornography, and there were three, and they were, I believe, PTHC and Kinder Cutie and Zoo School, which he admitted during his confession. I've typed these in, so he's actually using this program. He's sophisticated enough to pull it up on the computer, type in the search terms, decide which ones to download. So the government believes the sophisticated.
Here's something. Now, the guideline defines distribution very broadly and quite specifically. You know, it's just, as I said, posting material involving sexual exploitation of a minor on a website for public viewing. That's very broad.
Yes, sir.
But the statute that forbids distribution, that doesn't contain this definition, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, Your Honor, he was not charged with distribution. He was charged with simple possession for the child pornography that was on the computers.
Well, but that's very technical because you want people to have some... I mean, he was sentenced for distribution, right?
No, Your Honor, he wasn't.
Well, he got an enhancement for distribution.
Well, it's just a two-level.
He was punished incrementally for distribution.
Incrementally, yes, Your Honor. But the distribution charge is a completely different charge and was not charged in this case. The distribution charge has a mandatory minimum of 5 years and a maximum of 20 years. The distribution enhancement has a higher base offense level under the guidelines. I believe it's 22 versus 18.
Why wasn't he charged with distribution? Is this statute? What he did, this file-sharing business, is that considered statutory distribution or just guideline distribution?
I'm not, Your Honor, I'm not. It depends on the facts of the case. I am not 100% positive whether this court has ever held that simply using the program is statutory distribution. But I think this court in, I believe, is Karani.
What kind of notice does he have? I don't understand. Suppose statutory distribution doesn't include this file sharing stuff. So then a person who is, you know, really knowledgeable and so on and actually knew the statute, read the statute, and read cases interpreting the statute, he wouldn't think he was courting any additional punishment just by having file sharing, because, unless you charge people with knowledge of the guidelines.
Your Honor, I believe that the use of a peer-to-peer can amount to distribution under the statute. I think it absolutely can. I think this Court's decision
said
and
it didn't.
I said I'm not sure. And as I'm thinking, I know the Karani case I think is instructive, because the Karani case that this Court decided likened these peer-to-peer programs as like a self-service gas station. The child pornography is made available. Well, it did. I mean, that's the language the Court used.
No, it's clever. Yeah.
Not my language. But
that's yours.
Pardon? No, that's your Honor, or this Court's language, not mine. But it said it's akin to a self-service gas station, making it available and people come and use it. And in the Karani case, it said that is distribution.
Right. Okay.
I think there are a lot of factors that go into a charging decision, especially when you're dealing with a 60-some-year-old man. What's the most easily provable offense in this case? Mm-hmm. Possession. It's on his computer. Why confuse the jury with dealing with this issue that we're dealing with right now? I think that's all the points that I wanted to raise.
This really doesn't make too much difference, but was it a videotape of the demonstration in the courtroom, or was this a piece of evidence you presented to the court?
I believe it was a disc that the agent did before court that was a demonstration of how the program worked. Here's how you log on to it. Here's how you search for something.
Admitted without objection.
It was admitted in court, I believe, without objection. It was just a demonstration to let the jury know sort of how these systems work. So that was the purpose we introduced. That was the purpose for which we introduced it.
Do you know in terms of the web page what the actual front web page says? Do you remember?
Off the top of my head, no. I've never used one of these peer-to-peer. Probably will never use one of these peer-to-peer.
We could have looked it up, too. I wasn't get stuck in it.
I suppose one of your law clerks could show you how. But
I mean, I know we would know how to operate it. We're all computer savvy, but, I mean, just...
It's simple. It's just like using any search engine. Mm-hmm. It's just like typing up Google or Yahoo and typing in something, and up comes files, and you click on what you want to see. And the file names are there, so... There's no dispute as to what you're possibly getting. Some files be misnamed? Yes, but when something says 8-year-old with other language, you probably ought not click on it. And he did, downloaded it, and that's how we got this case.
In fact, some come up on other kinds of search engines without anything other than probably a lead word.
Yeah, they do. Just if you typed in Google and you don't have the safe filter on, you can type in an innocuous word, and up could come stuff that you never intended to come up. But in this case, again, the evidence at trial was he actually typed in search terms specific for child pornography. So it wasn't like, again, he didn't know what he was doing in this case. The government does believe the Tenth Circuit case analyzes the enhancement appropriately, and...
If we held that the defendant must have knowledge that that a file sharing program means that other people are going to be looking at these or can look at these files. Wouldn't he be entitled to a new trial? Because was the jury instructed on knowledge?
Your Honor, this was all at sentencing. This was not, nothing to do with the trial.
My mistake.
Okay. And again, it's plain error, but the government believes there is evidence in the pre-sentence report that was not objected to that says he was aware of what the purpose of this program was. And again, it's just been my experience, if the parties agree to an enhancement at sentencing, the government then doesn't go on to put additional evidence to prove an enhancement that the defendant has already said is appropriate. So.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Norwood. So, Mr. Hatchell, you have anything further?
I'm
Judge King, that was your opinion comparing the peer-to-peer to the gas station, so that's your language. But I want to go back to your point, Judge Posner, about do we have to hold if the defendant has to have knowledge. That's not exactly what we're asking. There's other ways you can prove distribution under the sentencing guidelines. What we contend is that if the government and the Eighth Circuit held is if you can't prove direct distribution, you can do it through indirect. And what we're contending is that if you're going to prove distribution through the indirect, then you have to have knowledge. Because if you don't have knowledge, you haven't taken an affirmative act. United States said that.
And even if we use that standard, that burden has been met here because, you know, it was at sentencing, and he told the police he understood the purpose of the peer-to-peer programs was to share files. I mean, so he pretty much admitted it.
The Eighth Circuit actually had this exact same facts. Just because somebody is aware that you can download child pornography, you can download files, that doesn't mean that they're aware that they can be uploaded. And that's the key here. What affirmative?
I know, but if it says all he has to know is that his files are available, right? I mean, that's why it would be so nice to actually, I mean, and we'll look at the disk that Mr. Norwood referred to. You really want to look at the first screen of the website and see whether it makes clear that unless you disable the sharing function, people can look at your files, and that's all that the guideline requires for distribution.
But I agree, and if this court finds that it is clear, then I think that's distribution. But in the case that it's not clear, and again, this isn't a novice computer user. This is an older gentleman who the testimony at trial, and the United States wants to point to a couple lines in a pre-sentence investigation report that the evidence wasn't even put in at trial that he was aware, but that just contradicts all the evidence at trial. The United States' own witnesses that said he didn't understand computers, Mr. Robinson's own wife who said he couldn't even go to a search engine. I mean, we're dealing with a defendant that doesn't understand computers.
Well, that, of course, there's a credibility finding that the court could make on whether they believe the testimony of the wife and these other witnesses. Right.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the point here is that we need an affirmative act, and Mr. Robinson contends that was not done here without knowledge.
Thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not? Well, we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client. We certainly thank Mr. Norwood for his argument.